Let me pray. Loving Father, as we turn to your word, the Bible now, we're going to hear a lot about listening to it. So please help us to listen well and to take on board all that you have to say to us in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
James 1, verses 19 to 27. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, one of the benefits of the good weather we've been having recently is that Rachel and I and the children can get outside more as a family. We've been playing in the garden, going for walks, and so on. It's been lovely. It does bring its challenges, however. We had a great time recently out in the fresh air with some friends, and the children asked if we could play a game of Stuck in the Mud. Now, if that doesn't mean much to you, it's a version of It or Tag or whatever you called it at school, and basically just involves a lot of running around. Our children play it in the playground at school. So that sounded like a good idea. We encourage our children to be active, so I happily agreed. The problem is that I still tend to think of myself as a fit and healthy 21-year-old who can easily sprint around on a playing field without any consequences. The next day, the reality of my physical condition became apparent when I tried to get out of bed. It's not exaggerating to say that every muscle in my body cried out in protest. I could barely walk. So much for that fit and healthy 21-year-old body I like to think I have. The reality is that I'm kidding myself if I think I'm as fit and strong now as I was back then. Well, last week, James warned us about being deceived in our thinking about wealth and about God. And in the verses we're reading this week, he warns us not to be deceived in our thinking about ourselves. To kid myself about my physical fitness is one thing. But James warns us here that we can just as easily kid ourselves about our relationship with God. We can tell ourselves that we have a close relationship with God when the reality can be very different. James wants us all to have a genuinely close relationship with God and not to deceive ourselves. And that begins, he says, by listening. That's our first heading, listen. Please look down with me at verses 19 to 21. James writes, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." One of the most basic truths of the Bible is that God speaks. In the Old Testament, the Israelites are told again and again that this is what sets him apart from the false gods of the nations. They don't speak. They're just lumps of wood. But the God of the Bible is a speaking God. And this is no minor detail. God makes things happen through speaking. So in the beginning, he created the universe by his words. Last week, we read that he chose to give us birth through the word of truth. So God calls us into being and relates to us through his word. The fact that he speaks is therefore no minor detail. It's fundamental to who he is. And it should go without saying then that listening to him is really important. As he addresses us in his word, the Bible, God tells us about himself. He tells us of his eternal purpose that he's working out in history. He tells us how to relate to him rightly and how to live the lives we were made for. It's only when we spend time listening to God in his word, the Bible, that we get to know who he truly is and who we truly are. And it's only then that we can begin to change, to be the people whom he has saved us to be. But here's the problem. We can kid ourselves that we're listening when we're not. Now, we all know how frustrating it is to speak to someone when they keep glancing down at their phone. They're pretending to listen to things you have to say, but actually they're more interested in the text they've just received or a football score. Inevitably, you end up having to repeat yourself because they're not really listening at all. And we can all be distracted in that way. How often do you sit down to read the Bible and find your mind wandering even as you read the words on the page? But being distracted isn't the only reason we stop listening. People sometimes say, you've got two ears and one mouth. Remember why. James is saying something similar here. Be slow to speak and quick to listen. It's very rare that someone who's good at talking is also good at listening. We're all capable of talking over one another without paying attention to what we're being told. Parents often have to say to their overexcited children, stop talking for a moment and listen. And the times when our ears are most firmly closed is when we're angry. It's very difficult to listen to someone when you're mad with them. And it's very often anger that prompts us to speak too quickly and to say too much. So James is challenging us here to think about the kind of people we are when it comes to relating to others in everyday life. Are you good at listening? Or do you prefer to be the one who's doing the talking and telling others what's on your mind? Are you good at listening? Or do you quickly get angry and need to let people know your thoughts? You see, if we find it difficult to listen when we relate to those around us, then it's likely that we'll find it equally difficult to listen when we relate to God. If we don't know how to use our ears when we're out in the world with others, then it's likely, unlikely, to be any different when we're on our own at home with our Bibles open in front of us. Now, James isn't saying here that we need to be completely silent before God. As we read on in his letter, we'll find that he has much to say about prayer. But the danger is that we can so quickly plunge into speaking to God about all the things we're worried about and all that we need that we forget to listen to him. James is challenging us to be good listeners before being good speakers. And the same can be true of our anger. If we're fuming with anger towards others, then we're going to find it very difficult to listen to what God says to us about loving them. And there might even be times when we find ourselves getting angry with God, when the things he says to us in the Bible don't agree with our own way of thinking. If we genuinely want to live changed lives that are increasingly pleasing to God, then being angry with others and getting angry at him isn't going to help. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires, James says. We need to get rid of all moral filth and evil that prevents us from listening to him. And we need to accept the word which God has planted in us. Well, James is using a gardening metaphor. Just as we dig out weeds so that the flowers we've planted can flourish and grow, so we're to root out all the wrong thoughts and attitudes in our hearts, so that God's word, which he has planted deep within us, can flourish and do its work. We're not finished with God's word once it has saved us and brought us to life spiritually. To be a Christian means listening to God's word as our authority and our guide for life, and allowing it to become a permanent part of our lives from that time onwards. So James is asking us a very important question. What place in your life are you giving to God's word? Are you listening? Are you making it a priority to be in church on Sundays with God's people as we gather together around his word? Are you committed to a home group where you can learn things with others which you might never have learned by reading the Bible on your own? And just as importantly, are you making it a priority to have a quiet time or a time of personal devotions on a regular basis when you spend time alone with God, meditating on what he's saying to you in his word and responding to him in prayer? Are you listening? But James says, don't kid yourself that listening alone is enough, because it isn't. Listening is really important, but only listening is no better than not listening at all. Now, having listened to what God has to say to us in his word, we need to act on it. Don't merely listen, James says. That's our next heading. Don't merely listen. So let's look down again at verses 22 to 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So we're deceiving ourselves if we think that merely listening to God's word is enough. We need to act upon what it says. And that's why we look in mirrors. That's James' point. We check to see that everything is as it should be before leaving the house. And if there's a problem, we sort it out. If we look in a mirror and find that we've got dried toothpaste running down our chin, you ever had that problem? Then we wipe it off. If there's sleep in our eyes, we remove it, we rub it out. If we discover that our hair's sticking out in all directions, we get some water on a brush or a comb and we flatten it down. If there's tomato sauce on our shirt, we get a cloth and wipe it off. When that doesn't work, we go and change. See, if we realise that it would be embarrassing to leave the house in the state we're in, we don't just ignore that fact and leave anyway. We act on it. And God's word is to produce the same result. When we read God's word, it shows us what we're really like. It shows us how our thinking and our behavior needs to change. And it does so so that we might do something about it. If we read God's word and do nothing, then we're like a man who looks in a mirror and then goes away and forgets all about the problems it's revealed. We're no better off than if we hadn't bothered, in other words. So as we read God's word, we need to ask ourselves what it reveals about us and how it's calling us to change. And then we need to act on it. So what promises is it calling me to trust, particularly in the circumstances that I'm in now? What commands is it calling me to obey? What truth is it calling me to believe? And how is it calling me to change? If we are really listening to what God says to us in the Bible, these are the kind of questions we'll be asking ourselves. And it can be so helpful to talk them through with friends whom we trust. Now, that's one reason it can be so helpful to meet up with two or three others on a regular basis to read the Bible and pray together. Because sometimes we need the help of others to act on what the Bible is saying to us. And verse 25 contains a wonderful promise. Whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. This is the way to enjoy God's blessing in our lives today. James calls God's word the law that gives freedom. We tend to think of those things as mutually exclusive. We tend to think that laws constrain our freedom. But true freedom doesn't come by having no laws, but by having the right laws. In his word, God teaches us how to live the way we were designed to live. He gives us promises to trust and commands to obey. And there is nothing that God requires of us in his word that isn't for our good and blessing, if only we will do it. Let me say that again. There is nothing that God requires of us in his word that isn't for our good and blessing, if only we will do it. This is how to experience true life. God has given us his words not merely to listen to, but to live by. He's given them to us out of love and only for our good and our blessing. So James says, don't merely listen. do what it says. And in the final two verses, he gives us examples of what this will look like. So here's some evidence that you really are listening. That's our final heading. Evidence that you really are listening. Please look down with me at verses 26 and 27. We've seen James calling us to listen. He's saying, warned us as well, not merely to listen. And in these final few couple of verses, he gives us evidence that you really are listening. That's our final heading. Please look down then at verses 26 and 27. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. God's word changes us. If we're not finding that to be true, then we may be deceiving ourselves about our relationship with God. That's what James is referring to here when he uses the word religion. Religion is the outward expression of our relationship with God as our Heavenly Father. And he gives us a test of whether that relationship is genuine. It's how we use our tongues. Now, this isn't the only test of our relationship with God, but it is a test. And it's a subject that James will keep returning to in this letter of his. Well, here he says that if we cannot keep a tight rein on our tongues, then we are self-deceived and our religion is worthless. If you and I are not exercising control over our tongues, then it may be that we're not truly a child of God at all. If our language is destructive or divisive, if we're constantly gossiping or complaining, if we're saying things that are spiteful or untrue, if our speech is full of obscenities and coarse jokes, then it may well be that we don't know God at all. At the very least, it's a sign that all is not well in our relationship with God. What comes out of our mouths reveals the state of our hearts. If we don't have control of our tongues, then our religion is worthless, James says. And then he goes on to give examples of what true religion looks like. Verse 27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Again, these aren't the only examples James could give, but they are important ones. Firstly, James says if we are truly God's children, then we'll care about people as our Heavenly Father does. And we'll care especially about the most vulnerable and powerless in society. That's what it meant to be an orphan or a widow in the first century. God, our Father, cares about those who are vulnerable and in need. And if we're his children, then so will we. If we are genuinely his children, then our hearts cannot remain hardened to their plight. We will be moved to action. So we are right as evangelicals to care about sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is vitally important, but it is never an end in itself. Believing the right things is a means to the greater end of becoming more like our Heavenly Father and caring about the things that He cares about. And the evidence that we have really listened to God's word is that we care for those in need. It's not the only evidence, but it is important nonetheless. And secondly, we'll keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. Well, this thought might be connected to what James has just written about caring for those in need. The pollution of the world here may be a reference to the world's general indifference to the plight of the vulnerable and needy. It may even refer to the world's willingness to exploit for personal gain those who are most powerless and vulnerable. If we are truly God's children, we'll not allow ourselves to be polluted by the greed and exploitation that is so prevalent in the world. And in a more general sense, we'll avoid thinking and acting in accordance with the world's values. We'll think and act instead in accordance with God's values. Well, this is a deeply practical test of whether our claims to know God are genuine. The test is simply this. Do you have a caring heart like His? Do you care for the vulnerable and needy as He does? If we are really listening to His word and putting it into practice, then this is one way that our relationship with God will be evident. Otherwise, we may be claiming things about ourselves that simply aren't true. Well, that's one reason why we take safeguarding so seriously here, for example. It might seem tedious to go through such a lengthy recruitment process before beginning to serve in the church. But we do it willingly because we care about the safety of those who are vulnerable. That's just one example. And what James writes here should give us pause for thought more generally. As you think about those who are most in need in our church family, those with limited means or health concerns or the elderly, what does your heart tell you? Do you care about your brothers and sisters in need? Are you moved to action? Will you pick up a phone to encourage them? Will you share with them to help meet their need? Will you inconvenience yourself for their good? And what does your heart tell you as you think of those who are powerless and vulnerable further afield? Of the homeless, of families living in poverty, of refugees, of unborn babies, of Christians facing persecution. Do you care about them too? Now, we don't always know how best to act in those cases. Perhaps we might be able to give some food to a food bank or to FSW. Perhaps you might consider taking in some Ukrainian refugees. We might consider adoption. What this looks like is going to be different for all of us depending on our circumstances. Sometimes all we can do is to give some money or to pray. And we can't help everyone. But if we are genuinely God's children, then our hearts cannot remain hardened to their plight. James doesn't want us to deceive ourselves about our relationship with God. If we genuinely know Him as our Heavenly Father, then we'll listen to Him as He addresses us in His Word, the Bible. And we won't merely listen. We'll consider how He's calling us to change. We'll act upon the things He says to us. And if we are genuinely children of God, that will be evident in the way we live, in our speech, our actions, and our purity in the world. Don't be deceived, James says. Let's pray. Loving Father, we long to know you better and to love you more. So please help us to listen to all that you say to us in your word, the Bible. Please help us to grasp the ways in which you're calling us to change. And please help us to act upon what you say. Would the reality of our relationship with you be evident in our words and our actions? And would we increasingly be the people whom you have saved us to be? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.